On KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Well, I am here this morning. This is Terry Raposa on Jefferson's State of Mind. My partner is on his way, hopefully. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. And Travis, how are you, my good friend?
I am great. Thank you. Good morning.
How are you, brother?
Good, good, good.
Good. All righty. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to ask you, if you're listening to this program, to call everybody you know and have them listen. We'll be doing it with limited commercials because the title of this program, which will carry over into Sovereign Minds, is Corruption. Corruption. Local corruption. Is there local corruption? We're going to talk about that. But first of all, talking about corruption, a way to stop voter corruption is my good friend Bob Holsinger with the California Voter Integrity Project. Bob, you've got an announcement to make.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Like Terry said, I'm Bob Holsinger. I'm the Shasta County Coordinator for the Election Integrity Project of California. We're a statewide nonpartisan group of volunteers with access to election attorneys who are working to seek to defend our voter integrity by providing trained poll and ballot watchers throughout the state. So we're watching ballot processing and voting in the ballots or in the polls to make sure everything goes well and according to state law. Volunteers are requested for as little as a few hours on election day to whatever time you may have available to commit in support of this valuable effort. Statewide training involves 3 hours for poll watching observers, if I may, and it's conducted starting October 10th through October 22nd at various days and times and is done online via the Zoom app. If you have any time to offer to this valuable statewide effort in Shasta County or our surrounding counties, I can be reached, and again, my name is Bob Holsinger, H-O-L, S as in Sam, I-N-G as in girl, E-R, via phone at 530-680-0862 or via text at that number, 530-680-0862. You can also go to www.eip-ca.com for more information online. Thank you very much, Terry. Have a wonderful day and safety and a great safe election, folks.
Bye-bye. Hey, Bob, thank you so much.
Yep.
And Bob is a real patriot and a fellow that you can really count on. And, Bob, give that phone number one more time, my brother.
530-680-0862 for text or phone. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
All right, brother. You too. Well, my partner's here. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
Is your mic on? Maybe it's just me.
No, it's on.
It's on. I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There we go.
I pushed the wrong button.
It's all right, Travis. We love you anyway, buddy.
I want that button.
We're going to talk this morning, as I said, about corruption.
No, there's no corruption here.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the public health department. Okay, public health in Shasta County has a budget of $214 million. $214 million. Now, $55 million goes for salaries, folks. $55 million goes for salaries. Seven the $8.2 million go to social services. They have that budget of $78.2. That's just that one particular arm of the public health department. Are you ready for this? Out of that $78.2 million, $25.8 million goes to salaries. That's almost $26 million to salaries, and only $9.4 million, basically a third of that, goes to support and care. So the salaries are three times the product. Anybody see something wrong with that? Here's the best part. When you look at the Health and Human Services Administration, they get $7.7 million in salary. $7.7 million. And out of that $7.7 million, there are no services. Do the math. $214 million, $55 million for salaries. When it comes to social services, the largest arm of that, $78.2 million, goes there, with $25.8 million of that going to salaries, and for services, only $9.4 million. That's outrageous. You know, we look at the corruption. We look at, maybe the would-be corruption, or maybe it is just the corruption. And we look at all these salaries and all these things going on here, and we're looking at millions and millions of dollars that now the Health and Human Services want to add to their budget. They want to add millions more. So, you know, here's the deal. The deal is that we have someone named Karen Ranstrom, and Karen is our Health and Human Services, she's the lead person
director
there.
Director or something?
Yeah. She makes, with an annual wage and benefit, she makes $284,590, almost $300,000. Darnell Ewert, who is the HASA director. Now, remember, HHSA, as part of the Health and Human Services Department, has $7.7 million in salaries with no services. So even though he does things that have no services attached to them, his total wage and benefits is $263,089. Now, are they really understanding your suffering? Is the Board of Supervisors understanding your suffering when they are being paid their full salaries and benefits while you are asked if you own a restaurant to shut down and maybe shut that back down to 25% again? Does that make any sense to anybody? Here's something else, too. There was an article that was written by Michael Lewis, and Michael Lewis is the fellow who wrote Moneyball, and he's writing for Bloomberg. He was invited, allegedly invited to the Board of Supervisors meeting by Matt Pontes, who is the new CEO taking over Larry Leese's job as a new CEO of Shasta County.
Aren't they from the same community?
I don't know. I don't think so. Larry's now in Salt Lake. He's Salt Lake Larry. He's gone.
Oh, okay. There you go. Just asking.
Anyway, getting back to that, the article said that Pontes had brought in a new threat assessment team because of threats to Karen Ranstrom. Apparently, the threats to Karen Ranstrom were she was getting, I guess, nasty emails and nasty letters, I guess. This assessment team made the news here in the Bloomberg article. And Ranstrom cut back her trees. She installed a security system, floodlights, and she ordered, and apparently this article said that Matt Pontes ordered a police patrol. Now, I don't know how he could do that or where he has a jurisdiction to do that, but it said he had ordered the police to patrol her neighborhood. Now, Pontes, in an article with the Record Searchlight, denied saying any of these things in the Bloomberg article. So, you know, and we all know that the press can sometimes print things that isn't the truth. But the deal is that if, in fact, he didn't say this, then, you know, he should deny it. But he is the fella who allegedly invited this Michael Lewis to come in.
Well, how convenient is that, that Michael Lewis comes up from Southern California to write this scathing article and badmouth people within our community, and then he gets to go home and doesn't get to feel any of the heat for what he's written?
Well, Chief Shuler apparently did authorize extra patrols around Ranstrom's home. And that he's on the record saying that in the Record Searchlight. So I'm kind of curious as to where all this is going, you know. Really and truly, there, you know, it's sort of like, well, you know, do people know Ranstrom's address? Well, you can find out anybody's address. It's
absolutely
public knowledge, you
yep.
know.
Yep, public record.
So, you know, what we're looking at here is a Health and Human Services department that's totally out of line with their salaries. I mean, totally out of line. And they're only giving like $9.4 million in support and care. You know, I mean, it's just, it's insane to think that, you know, you get $9.4 million in the social services part of this whole arm of local government. And out of that $78.2 million, $25.8 goes to salaries and only $9.4 goes to the actual product itself. How does that even make any sense? Now,
well, how about this? When they're doing the budget review, the Board of Supervisors, each of the five members on the board, when they go through that budget, are they looking at it line item by line item? Because not too long ago, I believe it was either late winter, early spring, when Trish Clark, a former Board of Supervisor member, she was on there for, 13, 14 years, she was in this very studio talking about that. When she was on the board, they took 3 or 4 days going through each item, line item by line item, and she referenced or said that, and I'm not directly quoting, but something to the effect of, that the Board of Supervisors counts on the staff to do that for them now, and they basically pencil whip it. So who's running the asylum? It sounds like the inmates are running the asylum, if you ask me. So why isn't the Board of Supervisors taking any heat for any of this? This is unacceptable. If they are charged with and sworn to uphold their responsibility to the Constitution and defense of the Constitution, state and federal, you would think that they take it a little bit more seriously than what they're doing.
Well, let's talk about the Board of Supervisors here. We have a gentleman named Joe Comente, who just a few short weeks ago came on Carl Bott's program, and he stated that, oh, we need the $18 million. Oh, we really need the $18 million. We have to do what we can do. When he was asked about Ranstrom, he said the Board of Supervisors have jurisdiction over what she does. I'll say that again. The Board of Supervisors has jurisdiction over what she does. But, oh, by the way, we need that $18 million. Well, let me ask you this, folks.
So the buck stops with them.
Yes, it does. Well, here's the thing about the buck. The deal is that the Sheriff's Department just got a raise, okay, and they needed one. I'm not discounting the fact the Sheriff's Department got a raise or anything like that. But what I will say about that is that a good raise is usually 3% a year for 3 years, which would be a 9% raise, which would be a pretty good deal. I'm sure everybody would appreciate that, anybody that's working. The Sheriff's Department just got a 27% raise.
Okay.
9% per year for 3 years. 27% raise. That's the information we're getting. 27%. Where did the money come from, Joe? Where did the money come from? Now, wasn't it just a few short months ago that the county was crying broke, saying they had no money? It was, there is no money. They have no money. We need a jail. We need this. We need that. We need help in everything. And even the district attorney, oh, we need help there. We need help everywhere. We need money. Well, by gosh, by golly, where did that 27% come from?
And in the climate that we're in right now, where the tax dollars are not coming in, something as irresponsible as that to occur is unacceptable. Just point blank, unacceptable. I mean, I don't discount the sheriff's deputies deserving a raise. I'm not discounting that by any means. Please don't take it that way. But the act of operating and managing the budget is solely on the five people that were elected to do so. And if they're not going to do it, then we need people that will.
Well, I guess the bottom line is, where'd the money come from?
Well, yeah.
Where did the money come from, folks? 27%, where did it come from? They were broke. They're broke. Joe, oh, we need the $18 million. Where did the money come from? Well, is there a fund somewhere? Maybe an other fund? And maybe the other fund has $60 million in it? Is there an other fund?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a fund somewhere with $60 million?
$60
million. Maybe. Is there one?
$42 million more than Joe was asking for.
And if, in fact, we have money for the sheriffs all along, why was everybody asking for money?
Is this
and why haven't we built a jail? And, oh, by the way.
Is this a discretionary fund?
Is it?
I don't know.
Very interesting. You know, you look at the particular violations here. You look at the violations here, and we are going to be having Patrick Jones coming in. In fact, he's coming in right now, and he'll be we'll be elaborating on this. And again, we're going to use very few breaks here because we want to get everything in this morning. And again, Patrick will be held over till
the cows
Sovereign
come
Minds
home.
until he wants to go. But Patrick, we had talked about the corruption that we have in the Health and Human Services Department. I don't know if you heard any of that on the radio.
I did.
Okay, very interesting about that money, and very interesting about the $7.7 million that goes directly to the administration. And very interesting that the salaries are three times what the services are. That's an interesting situation. But we just were talking about the possibility of a fund for $60 million and that the sheriff just got a raise, as we had just stated. Can you elaborate on those two issues, please?
So, you know, what we see here is we see a very large raise, particularly in the first year of that contract. And anytime you see a large multi-million dollar contract, you're going to have to ask, where is that money coming from? And if you notice, there was nothing in the paper. There was nothing in the paper about the amount of the raise or how much that would equate to, and also what it does to your underfunded pensions as well. You would need to see that number, too, to see what you're adding on to your already $534 million of debt today. We didn't see any of that. They've kept it hidden from the public. And normally, if a sheriff's department got a substantial raise, you would put that out to the public. But in this case, they kept it quiet on all channels. And also, the public was not allowed to go to that meeting because they're not having public meetings. So the public, for the most part, has been unaware of this substantial raise, a multi-million dollar contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, just a short while ago, as you mentioned, the county said, and all five were on board with this massive 1% sales tax increase, that we can't add any more staffing, we can't have any raises, we can't build a jail or manage to staff a jail without this percentage, this 1% sales tax increase. And now all of a sudden we see a multi-million dollar contract raise given and not a peep about it to the public. So clearly, fact, there was some money. There was some money that they did not tell us about. We are hearing that they're trying to throw Larry Lees, the former CEO, under the bus.
Wow.
Because he's not here any longer. That would be the guy you would want to throw under the bus.
Wow.
If you in fact did have a pot of money that the public was unaware of by design, the board members, all five, would know of this. There is certainly corruption if that's the case. You would want to throw somebody under the bus for this. And in this case, we're hearing the name Larry Lees. Now, Larry Lees was the CEO here, but everything has to be approved by the board. So they're not going to be able to do that successfully.
So that would be part of public record. They would have to take a vote on it, and their votes would each have to be individually counted and spoken for, correct?
Well, that is correct. And they approve the budgets. And so wherever this pot of money was and however it was listed, let's say it was in an account like other. That's a pretty ominous little category that most governments have. And, you know, when you're looking at a budget document, this particular one is 640 pages. And do you think the board is going to scrutinize that? Is this the type of board that has been known for scrutinizing budgets?
Well, yeah. That's the other thing that I thought you brought up that was really interesting is, first of all, the raise itself. Where did the money come from? We just had Joe Comente, as we said, on this program, on Carl Bott's program, saying, hey, we're broke. We don't have any money. We need money. We need money. Please help us. We need money. And all of a sudden, now we've heard figures bounce around, up to $60 million bounce around. I'll get to that in just a second. But if all five of these people knew, would Matt Pontes, the new CEO, would he know? Does the district attorney know? Did the sheriff know? Does the sheriff know that there's a pot of money there? Where did this raise come from?
When I say this, that if you're going to give a raise, a multi-million dollar contract, then everybody had to know at that point.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
And in fact, if there was a pot of money, say $60 million, that is a number that we're hearing from multiple sources, high up within both the county and the city government.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so that is the amount that we're hearing from. when did these folks, these elected officials and appointed officials, know about it? And how long have they been withholding this information?
Now, all of those folks that you're talking about, the constitutional officers that we have of the county, the assessor recorder, the district attorney, the sheriff himself, superintendent of schools, those are the constitutional officers we have. And then we also have the elected department heads. And we're talking about the county clerk, the auditor controller, the tax collector.
Wow.
Those seven people are all constitutionally bound to speak up. They are all constitutionally bound. And then you have the five board members. So you have a total of 12 bodies that are elected officials that are duty-bound for the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. They are duty-bound to speak up, and not one of the 12 of them have done it.
We're going to come right back to that because we want to go to our caller, but I've written it down, so we'll come right back to it. Chris, what say you, sir?
Yeah, I got a comment regarding the 9% raise, and it might come across as I'm whittling mouse biscuits. But that's a compounded increase. That's not just a simple interest. So by the end of the third year, it's close to a 30% raise.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, all the payroll loading is going to compound by that also.
Wow.
Yep.
Anyway,
you start thinking about all the other benefits and everything else, it's all going to compound by that.
Wow.
Overtime. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's true. And you know, when you just look at what is the number that's going to be added to the pension costs, because obviously you're putting now upward pressure on that. And so we already knew that we're going to be paying, you know, in excess of around $20 million a year to try to cover these pension costs for the next 20 years. And so now this compounds that. And the public was unaware of that as well.
That's an extra $400 million.
Yes, it's a big number.
Petty cash.
Oh, my God.
Well,
petty cash, yeah.
Unfortunately, you have to add in interest. And so you get actually to a number that's in excess of $500 million, and we're getting the new CalPERS numbers now that are showing that it's probably going to be around $600 million underfunded.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Chris,
thank you for calling me,
you go, and thank you, brother.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right,
let's go off to our break real quick so that we can come back and we can just keep on going.
Yeah, we're
going
to go off to a break so that we can go ahead. We're going to regroup here a little bit because I've got a couple. This is just a lot of information, folks, that
everybody
needs to be listening to this. We need to make sure this archive gets out. Are we the new Bell California? Time has come.
For 51.
Oh, man. We need to get it done.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
At Paid For By No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Sing it with me one time now. Hey, 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 Jefferson. Hey, hey, hey,
we're back. To recap a little bit about what we've talked about, the sheriffs have gotten a raise. We're going to talk a little bit about that. It could be as much as a 30% raise, as our caller Chris brought to light. Where did the money come from? They've been crying broke. They wanted a 1% sales tax. Is there another fund out there? Where did the money come from? Is this other fund $60 million? And in the best of times, Patrick, the raises were how much in the best of times?
Well, you know, I remember back when I was on city council for 8 years, and slightly before I was on council, we had a very good economy. If folks remember the economies of 2001 and 2 and 3 and 4, where we had substantial growth within our county. And in those years, you could afford about a 5% raise per year. So you could do a five-year contract with a 25% increase if you were having a retention problem. You don't give raises just to give raises, but you give raises so that you are well above the median income. You can have a quality of life that's appropriate for the county, and reasonable benefits. And unfortunately, the city of Reading, you know, acted as if the global recession didn't happen. And in the place of, in the case of the Reading Police Department, they got a 25% raise, 5%. For every year, right through the global recession.
Oh, when you say City of Reading, you're talking about the governing body.
You're right.
Okay.
And so the Reading Police Department, all officers got a 25% raise when we couldn't afford it, because they acted as if that's a normal thing, and the recession apparently doesn't affect them. Mm-hmm. Today, the Reading Police Department is one of the highest paid departments in the country, and that creates a real problem. Then, when you have an essentially an overpaid department, mm-hmm. Now the Sheriff's Department is looked at as second class because the pay isn't equivalent. And so what they did here recently was they matched that. And in fact, now the Sheriff's Department will be slightly more than the Reading Police Department. And the number's been thrown out there for the Reading Police Department that they're the fifth highest paid department in the country. That may or may not be true, but they're certainly one of the best paid. And now the Sheriff's Department is there as well. And so now what you're going to create is a war of escalating salaries.
So the police department would probably now want a raise, is that?
Well, that's quite likely what you'll see. And neither with the kinds of pension debt that you have, neither can truly afford it. Now, while these folks do deserve it, what's deserved and what you can afford are two different things. And that's where I constantly got criticized for serving, was that, yes, these guys work hard and they work in dangerous conditions and they deserve a raise, but we can't afford it. So we can't give something if we can't hold that promise. And so these are going to be broken promises because of the amount of debt. The city of Reading is collapsing. They couldn't afford their CalPERS payment this year, so they stole $12 million out of the electric utility. They would have had to lay off 500 employees. That's what that amount of money would mean. And they just stole it. They're starting to implode. They cannot afford what they've been doing.
$12 million from REU? What's going to happen to our rates?
Well, and that's just for this year.
Oh, my gosh. That's just for 1 year?
1 year.
Oh, you got to say that one more time. These folks have got it. I mean, this stuff, you know, that's the thing. It's, I mean, $12 million that the city of Reading took, or you said stole.
Both the county and the city have been doing similar problems. They've created the pension debt. The debt is there.
Oh my gosh.
They're not addressing the debt, and the taxpayer has to pick it up, both in the city and the county. And so when they don't meet their rate of return, we have to pick that up. The taxpayers have to pick it up. For the county, you're talking about $20 million a year for at least the next 20 years. So what could we do in the county with an extra $20 million a year?
Well, apparently we have about $60 million that's sitting there that we used for the sheriffs, and who knows. You know, and that's the thing. I know the program prior to this, Nick was talking about the jail. Now, they had the money, apparently, all along. If they had the money all along, who knew about it? I mean, this is... would that be, and if the DA knew about it, could she be someone, if there was criminal charges brought up, would she have to recuse herself?
Last month when this raise was proposed, we saw it on the agenda, and again, we can't get into the board. And it's going to be a closed session item, so you'll see a labor negotiation for bargaining group, and there are many. And so we know something's going on, but you don't know what, and we didn't hear the percentage. And when they report back out, we got very little information. Nobody's in the room. We're not allowed to go inside. And so how nice to give a multimillion-dollar 28% raise is no patient because in the room. And so it is a form of corruption of what they some greater than that.
The 60 million number plus or minus, if it's not as in, but counted for in the total in the budget, or what? Yeah. For?
Well, that I have 60 million. Right. What if it's labeled than what it was? Heard that money to give perpetuity.
Where did that
right
come from?
And they must
have to know where, what account number, and follow the trail. Or is it got it?
And I would agree aware of whatever any longer. And would the print the taxpayer? Is it putting on? Would have been a bit like if we had longer need button.
Goes back to when officers be the note partly doing on fines, and they get to
most concerned supervisors.
Correct.
They budget
line
and
up on everything.
Sheriff in this sheriff's the top.
Right.
And enforcement on need to be
correct.
That could jeopardize.
But we have first man.
And the fact of their not is being CalPERS these raises. Friends just got run. And her monthly up to 700 didn't blur for that.
The city money, the city got that from our dead.
They're offsetting that right now.
They're right.
Exactly.
And so now the double city that you get, but now costs. That's correct.
Good.
Good.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Chris, but, we'll go over to Chris right now.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Yeah, I got a question regarding the pensions and so forth. What is the annual cost of living increase built in for the City of Reading employees when they retire?
Oh, I would have to seen that information. There is a COLA, and it's often that when a city employee retires within a couple years, they're actually making more than when they were working.
Yes,
exactly.
You know, and so
take this 20 years down the road, you get somebody retires at 55.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
And every year you got a series of people doing that.
Absolutely.
That number has just got to be out of this world.
It is a very high. The actuarials that have been done, very generic methods, and they're not giving you a true number. So the number that we know is most likely not the correct number, and the numbers are higher. And, you know, what do you call when you take a loan from REU that you can't pay back? That's not a loan. That's a theft. When you know you can't pay that back, that you have a $12 million loan, and you're going to have to do it next year. So now what they've done is with the city, they artificially over the few years before increased your rates to cover this, knowing. So they have conspired to do this. It's totally illegal. And, you know, when I was on council, we created a citizens oversight for REU. The day I was out of office, they got rid of it, and it's exactly for these. They don't want eyes on this. We don't have a paper looking into this, and this is type of corruption that we're seeing happening in our own town, and it's got to stop, and we have to start electing people that are going to quit doing this. Now, we have two in the city. We have two incumbents that are taking credit for how well the city is doing.
Oh, my gosh.
But when you really look at the real truth,
oh my gosh.
I would wonder if anyone would vote for an incumbent right now.
Well, I think it's totally unsustainable, you know, like what Chris is talking about. You know, there's no way you can keep on going. You can't.
Now, isn't their pension based on their last year's salary?
That is correct. So that's why they often, Leonard Modi, try to get a spike in the last year.
Kurt Starman. They get promoted to a new position, they get a big raise, and then they retire.
They retire shortly thereafter, and that gets calculated then for the rest of their life, and the taxpayer has to pick it up.
So let me get this straight. So if you, say, get a lot of overtime in your last year, then that means that that's what they look at?
No, it won't be calculated off of overtime. And so while
I mean your total salary. Let's say your total salary
goes... salary, but not including overtime.
Not including overtime.
But it's
okay.
Very common practice that for your last year that you get a substantial bump, 5, 6, 7%, maybe even 10%. Maybe you even try things like Mike Warren did and get a 20% pay increase. And that spiked his salary $40,000 for the rest of his life, more, and the taxpayers have to pick that up. So it's been going on.
Well, using the compound interest, say they end up with a 10% raise.
Right.
Their pension doubles in 7 years.
Right.
There
it's a huge amount of money. And the public is unaware of this because we do not have a paper that reports the truth. Now, in Bell, California, they were caught, and we're only talking $20 million. This is far greater than that. And there's been far bigger abuses within the Reading Electric Utility than 10 or 20 million. In fact, I would tell you that there was an abuse within the electric utility of over 200 million.
What?
200 million.
Now,
how difficult would it be to put in place that their pension is based over a 10-year period? They take a 10-year average salary.
Well, the bottom line, in my way of thinking, is that we have a system that is rotten to the core.
Oh, boy.
But if you want it, then the employee is going to have to pay for it, and we have to separate the taxpayer from always having to pick up this garbage of a contract. And that's what's been happening. The public has been paying for it, but you're not getting it. And we're going to have to make some changes, and they're going to have to start coming pretty quickly, or we're going to be insolvent.
So then, okay, when you have what we refer to Bell, California, that was just the city itself. Here in Reading, in Shasta County, we have the city of Reading that's corrupt, and we also have Shasta County that's corrupt. So it's not only just bad and twice as bad, it's beyond that.
It's been said of me when I was in City Hall that I could not be trusted. And that was within city staff. And I'll tell you a little story why that is probably true. because I didn't work for city staff. I worked for 90,000 people. So one day I got an email, which I got many, that said confidential. Kurt Starman, our city manager, along with Mike Warren and Steve Gaines, were all talking on an internal so-called confidential email that was talking about shutting down the Civic Auditorium for 2 years to allow it to get in such disrepair that it would be torn down. And it was labeled confidential, but it wasn't attorney-client privileged. And so here were these three individuals, former city manager, and then Steve Gaines, which was the Hilltop Hotel Association president, if I recall, or something similar to that. But they were talking about tearing down or getting rid of a very important building to our community. And so I called up Scott Mobley at the Record Searchlight, and I said, Scott, what do you got for the morning front page? And he goes, not too much. And I said, well, take a look at your email. And in the morning's paper, we got that out there, and all of a sudden everybody's having to backtrack. Well, we weren't talking about that, and we weren't doing this, and we weren't doing that.
Wow.
And it pulled them away from that, and it stopped them from that. But if I hadn't done that on behalf of the public, they would have voted to shut that building down, to let it go in disrepair, because that site was the site that they wanted for the Sheraton Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted it at that location. But without good people at City Hall, but I got labeled a traitor inside City Hall for allowing the public to have information that they did not want, but on a very important building. And that's what we need in government today. We don't need to have secrets. We don't need to hide from the truth. We shouldn't be hiding anything. We should be allowing the public to make decisions, and these budgets are in the same fashion. They're hiding
Absolutely.
What, for the county, it's a $570 million budget, and for the most part, the average person is unaware of how your tax dollars are being spent, and they should be appalled.
Yeah, you know, and that's the whole thing. People are just so unaware of this. That's why we're doing this program today, and Patrick is going to stay over for Sovereign Minds, yes?
Yes.
And, you know, maybe talk about some of the same things he has talked about, because it's vitally important, folks. You need to share this program. If you have a question for us, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. You know, we need to be looking at this. Think about this, folks. The money's been there for the jail the whole time. Everything has been there anyway. There's $570 million in unfunded liability. I can't even go through all. This is amazing to me.
Well,
and $12 million being taken out of REU.
and that means your rates are going up. These people are having a gravy train, with all of us on, with the money.
Well, every time you ask someone within the county, they're saying, well, you know, we only have, you know, out of that budget, only 19% is discretionary, and the rest are mandated. Right. And they constantly throw that number out that less than 20% is what they can maneuver around. And it's bogus. It's not true. And while some monies are earmarked, it's still important as to how you spend it on behalf of the taxpayer. And these things are going to have to be looked into with in depth. And I think the whole system with regards to the budget needs to change to allow the public to weigh in on it, because I think they're going to have some great concerns.
Well, then I think also, too, with all the taxes that we have raised here in Shasta County, that we hold on to those tax dollars. And then when we're done funding the departments that we need to fund after we have a complete and thorough audit, forensic and otherwise, we know exactly where the holes are. We fix it appropriately and properly and timely. And then if there's any money left over, then that pittance, a percentage of that, may go to the state, because that's the only way we're going to fix this up here.
Another misconception about me personally, and I am Patrick Henry Jones, running for Supervisor District 4.
Well, with that, we're going to go to Jackie on the phone. Jackie, what say you?
Hi there. I've admired Patrick Jones' honesty and straightforwardness for some time, but I was wondering whom he would recommend for the other districts, because I know he's in the fourth, but I'm not.
Well, unfortunately, thank you, Jackie. There is no other seat open. Modi won his primary with over 50%, so I'm the only supervisor race that's open. If you live within the city, there is two seats open there. I would encourage people to not look at the incumbents and take a look at the others.
Thank you, Jackie. Richard, what say you, sir?
Hello, Richard. You
Richard,
on?
You there?
Must have lost
Richard? It. Okay. Anyway, Patrick, yeah, it seems as if we're looking at, mass corruption. This is a lot to take in and a lot for folks to really take in.
Let me give you a little story, Terry. This was somewhere around 2007, 8, somewhere in there. So I was fairly new on city council, and I was going over the budget for the Reading Fire Department, and I was endorsed by the Reading Fire Department. And I think we've got a great team of guys there. They're hardworking, and I don't think you'd find a better department as far as skilled firefighters. And I really liked them, and I appreciated the endorsement in those years. But I was looking over the budget, and I calculated for labor a particular number. And I thought, well, that can't be right. That's way too high. So I went to the leader of that union and said, Lonnie, I must be calculating something wrong, because I'm doing an average over 79 guys, and I get to a number of $183,000 per firefighter for pay and benefits. And he goes, well, that's for pay and benefits. And I go, that's what I'm saying. I said, is that correct? And he goes, yes, but that's for pay and benefits. And I thought, Lonnie, I had no idea we're spending $183,000. And this was, again, over 15 years ago. That number is much higher now. In fact, it's approaching $200,000.
Holy crap.
And so when you I looked at that and I said, Lonnie, no wonder we can't get three men on an engine crew, is because we can't afford it. We're going broke here with all this stuff. And that to them signaled that I was no longer trustworthy and was a mean and evil person, because I wasn't endorsed by the fire department and I'm supposed to go along with it and support them on every decision. But when you have a budget that's totally out of control, I have a fiduciary responsibility to stand tall. Now, that was the last time the union ever talked to me, and it was the last time they ever endorsed me. But I was okay with that because, again, I'm here for the public. We have to represent the people, and while we want to take care of our employees, we can't let these costs go crazy, which is what we're seeing.
This is exactly where we are.
We have Melissa on the line. Melissa, what say you, my dear?
Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Hey, I had a question for Patrick and you guys as well. Going to the board meetings, I feel really bad because I feel the people that show up for the Fountain Wind project all the time. You know, we have people out there that are trying to, keep their farms and their homes going without these big energy propellers going up, right? Well, I was wondering, what is the relation of the Fountain Wind project to the county? Like, the money that we would supposedly be getting from the energy, even though we fulfilled the energy quota, right? I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but I just really wanted to ask about the money and where
sure.
that we could be getting potentially money from there and not be using it correctly.
So here's, I did have a meeting with the general manager, Henry, with the Fountain Wind Project, and so he went over what the pros and possible cons would be. You know, it's a $250 million project. They're looking at sales tax increase to the county and increased in property tax over a 30-year period. I think that's what the lease calls for. So while the county would receive some funds, maybe $1 million to $2 million a year, the county most likely is going to support that project because of extra money coming into the county. And that aspect of it sounds pretty good. And I could almost accept that aspect of it. But then you take a look at wind in general. And you take a look at that. These things have tax credits. They are subsidized by the taxpayers. They are not green. And my fear is, as they get established, these first 72, and these things are almost 700 feet tall in some cases. They will vary in size. That you're going to see those blinking lights and those white structures all across this valley, because they have to have more and more and more, because they don't pencil out. They only pencil out if they get the tax credit to the builder. Without that credit, you wouldn't see wind. And without a crooked government in Sacramento that says you have to have all this so-called green power by 2030, but yet you can't calculate hydro, this is a crooked system. And because of that, I cannot support such a system.
With that, Melissa, thank you so much. I hope that answered your question. And we're going to go over to Brenda. Brenda, what say you?
Good morning, Brenda.
Hi.
What's up?
So am I asking you the question?
Yep. Well, you're the caller. You ask us the questions. Go for it.
Okay. This is the first time me calling in. I haven't listened to your program before. So anyways, I have two questions.
Okay.
So for Mr. Jones, I want to find out how you feel about defunding fire departments, because we have smaller fire departments in the county that rely on grants and small taxes, unlike bigger departments that probably get more funding. But I know in the past you have been against funding fire departments.
That's incorrect.
My second question has to
I have to talk over you like the president does. Sorry.
What's that?
No, he was saying that's incorrect, so that's not accurate. And so, anyway, go ahead. He didn't mean to talk over you, but he wanted to let you know that's inaccurate. That isn't what he's done. No one has defunded anything. Anyway, what's your second question?
Or wanting to defund, though, because I know when Shasta Lake City proposed fire taxes, you were against it. And I'll let you speak on that in a minute, and I'll let you have your moment. And then my second question has to do with homeless people. I have a daughter that's been mentally ill for almost 5 years. I take care of her two kids. I don't agree with the sweeping. The housing market is almost unreachable. I have another daughter that's been homeless for quite some time because the standards for renting a house is so high that we just now got her in to a house, but then they doubled our deposits and stuff like that, really for not a good reason. So I want to find out how you feel about the sweeping with the homeless people and what you want to do with that.
Yeah, no, they're very good questions. I appreciate the call. So first, I do not believe in defunding the police department, and I do not believe in defunding the fire department. But what I do believe in is efficiencies with both departments. And you can't just spend crazy on these pay and benefits. It is not fair to the taxpayer. So I want to bring those numbers into what we can afford. Right now, with public safety, there is a huge underfunded debt now for the city of Reading. It's probably around $500 to $600 million. We know for sure with the county it's $534 million in counting. And this is what the taxpayer has to pick up. And so I don't want to defund these departments. In fact, I want to increase staffing both with police departments, fire departments. I've donated a lot of money to volunteer fire departments because I believe in the work that they do. I don't want to defund them. I want to increase staffing, but I need to get the cost under control so we can have the proper staffing that the public deserves. You cannot let these costs get out of control. And when you see in the city of Reading, for example, that the pay and benefits in average is $190,000, we've got a problem there, because we cannot afford those types of pay in perpetuity, plus pension debt and medical debt. So, you know, there's a difference between and keep in mind, I have a degree in administration of justice. I'm post-certified. I've taken many EMT classes, and I believe in the work and the people. And we have good people here. It has nothing to do with the quality of people, because we have excellent people. What it has to do with is not managing your budget, not doing your fiduciary responsibility that we all do in our personal lives in these budgets, both with the county and the city. And people say, you know, you should just give them what they want. Well, that is what's been happening, and these budgets now are to the point that they're starting to implode. The city of Reading now is stealing, literally stealing, millions of dollars from other departments to pay for public safety pensions. This has to stop. That does not mean I am defunding police or fire departments, but we need pay and benefits that we can truly afford. When we make a promise, I want to keep it. These promises cannot be kept, so they're lies. And I'm just trying to be honest and truthful, and I will be tough on this because it's important. The strength of our county depends upon it, and we have to start doing better. Now, with regards to the homelessness and housing costs, one of the biggest problems that you'll see is right out of Sacramento is all these mandates that are jacking up the price for building homes and increased fees and regulations at the county level, which I want to reduce. I want homes to be more affordable. And we can do it by reducing regulations, reducing these fees, and having homes that cost simply less money. And more builders will build, and therefore more people can afford. And I'm working hard on that. I have a history of doing that at City Hall, and I will do it at the county as well.
Perfect.
You know, and with that, we've got about maybe a little less than a minute left. And Patrick, if you'd close out our program a little bit here, it'd be great. And then, of course, stay tuned because Sovereign Minds is going to continue on with this. Oh, the mass corruption is crazy. Anyway.
Well, I appreciate all the people that have been coming to the Board of Supervisor meetings, be it we have to stand outside in 100-degree weather, be it we have to stand outside in smoky weather, be it we have to stand out there and we can't hear the speaker that they've provided because of construction noise next doors, but yet every week people keep coming out trying to listen to what's happening in our county government, and yet we're being forced out. We are being sold out. Recently, R1 was passed, $18 million of CARES money, but yet only small businesses got $3 million. I think it's time for a change. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd like to earn your vote.
Time has come.
For 51.
Man, do we need to get it done.
Amen.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.